Edward and Omid, thank you for joining us on KPFA News. The last 12 hours have marked a sharp escalation from Donald Trump, particularly in his rhetoric directed at civilians, following his post that read in part, quote, "A whole civilization will die tonight, never to be brought back again," close quote. CARE has described those threats as unhinged, racist, and genocidal. Edward, can you elaborate on that characterization?
That's exactly what it is. I mean, President Trump announced this morning that a civilization will die tonight. A civilization. That doesn't mean a government. That means an entire nation and its history. It was a threat of genocide. And if there was any doubt about what he meant, just yesterday, when a reporter asked him on the White House lawn, wouldn't attacking civilian infrastructure be a war crime? He said no, because they're animals, referring to the people who would be victimized by these attacks on civilian infrastructure. So the president has lost it. He sounds more like Benjamin Netanyahu than the president of the United States. And so it is time now for Congress to do its job, which it has been failing to do for months now. It's time for the president's cabinet to stop being yes men and yes women and do their job. And it's time for military leaders to do their job and say no to this president if he does order a genocidal attack on the Iranian people.
I want to bring in Omid Mamadian, as Don has also described the president's remarks as genocidal.
That's right, that these threats are genocidal. It's more than just rhetoric. The U.S. and Israel are already targeting civilian infrastructures on which millions of Iranian civilians depend. It's been like devastating to hear that a U.S. president goes on camera, live TV, before the nation, and talks about committing war crimes. And this morning, writing a post on Truth Social, talking about destroying a civilization. Well, this is dehumanizing Iranians.
Omid, Don is calling for an end to what it describes as Donald Trump and Israel's unlawful war in Iran. What specifically is your organization demanding right now?
As you said, Don, from the beginning called this war illegal and asked for a ceasefire, quick ceasefire, and to go back to the negotiation tables. We called on the U.S. government, on all the parties who have been involved in this war, Iran, Israel, U.S., to stop committing war crimes, because all the parties are just committing war crimes on a daily basis. We believe that war is not going to solve any of the issues that that the U.S. Has with Iran, and at the end of the day, there should be negotiations with Iranians. And I think President feels so much frustration in Washington and doesn't see any off-ramp to get out of this war and claim victory. That's what he wanted from the beginning, to have a quick war, claim victory, and use it for the midterm election in the U.S. Now, from every angle you look at this war, this is a disaster for President. And that's why, you know, you see his language has changed. A president, you know, writes in the language of a madman. I think that's why I think, you know, because he's overwhelmed, he's frustrated. This is not a language of somebody who's winning. This is not a language of somebody who is in a better shape. This is the language of fear, humiliation, and somebody who can't find a way to get out of this mess.
Edward Ahmed Mitchell, same question to you. As we are hearing some bipartisan condemnation, with Democrats calling for the 25th Amendment to be invoked, while others are calling for protests in the streets. What is CARE calling for?
We're calling for three things. Number one, Congress should come back from vacation, reconvene, and vote to end this war. They almost voted in favor of it in the House. They were short by a few votes because of a few Democrats, very pro-Israel Democrats, who voted against the resolution. Now, with the vote tally likely having changed, there's a good chance they could win a House vote to block this war. Now, of course, the Senate may not go for it. The president could veto, but that symbolic step would be incredibly powerful in forcing the president to stop this war. Secondly, the president's cabinet has to recognize, just as they started to recognize at the end of his first term, that he has gone off the rails. He is threatening to commit a genocide, openly commit a war crime. And so the president's cabinet has an obligation to say that this is not acceptable. This cannot happen. And if it does, the 25th Amendment should be enacted. And number three, the military soldiers uphold an oath to the Constitution, not to one man. Soldiers have the right to refuse to obey unlawful orders. In order to massacre civilians, in order to commit a genocide, is by very definition an unlawful order. And so, if worse comes to worse, military leaders must say no if they are ordered to carry out an unlawful order.
Shortly before airtime, there were reports that a possible ceasefire may be forming, potentially preventing a worst-case scenario threatened by Donald Trump. But even so, ongoing attacks on civilian infrastructure, the killing of school children, and even the threat itself to wipe out an entire civilization could amount to a war crime. So even if Donald Trump does not make good on his threat, does there still need to be accountability?
We have to remember that this war was illegal in the first place. The U.S. intelligence confirmed Iran posed no imminent threat to the United States. Secretary Rubio admitted openly the reason, part of the reason they did this was because Israel wanted to do it, and we felt we had no choice but to go along with it. And so this lie that Iran has been weeks away from building a nuclear weapon for 30 years, it's nonsense. And it's no different than what was said about WMDs in Iraq. And so the war was illegal. The president violated his oath by waging it without authorization from Congress. And so we should be held accountable for that. And in the conduct of the war, we've already committed war crimes. One of the first things that happened was bombing a school full of Iranian children. Killing over 200 little boys and girls. That was a war crime. And whether it was done through absolute idiocy and recklessness or malice, someone should be held accountable. Pete Hegseth should be impeached if he doesn't resign. The military leaders who signed off on it should be held accountable. In no other career or walk of life could you, quote unquote, accidentally kill 200 people and then keep your job. And so regardless of what happens tonight, there should absolutely be a reckoning and accountability for the war crimes that have been committed, for the launching of this illegal war for Israel in the first place. Now, whether or not there will be accountability, with this Congress, who knows? But Congress changes, the makeup of Congress changes. And if there's a Congress that reflects the will of the American people at some point in the future, I think there will be a chance for accountability, including impeachment of Secretary Hegseth. And we'll see what happens with President Trump.
And finally, Omid, the Iranian president, responded on social media saying that he and 14 million civilians are willing to die to defend the country, which comes in response to Donald Trump. Where does this leave the Iranian people who appear caught between two regimes who are willing to put their lives at risk, despite Trump framing this war as protecting civilians and responding to repression?
6 weeks into the war, what we are seeing is the opposite. The president they thought that they are going to create cracks within the Iranian regime and the circles of supporters and loyalists, and to create mass defections, and the army drop their guns. And, now what we are seeing is the opposite, that many of those people who are against the Iranian regime, many people who don't want the regime to survive, and they have had enough of the repressive Iranian government, they are saying like, wait a moment. This attack, this war, this Israeli aggression against Iran, it's not about the Iranian regime. It's not about the Islamic government in Tehran. This is entirely designed to destroy Iran as a nation. Very disturbing to see that the Iranian people had their momentum. There is a lot of frustration inside the country against the government. There's a lot of grievances. There's a lot of movements. The Iranian regime has lost so much legitimacy before the eyes of the Iranian people. And what the president is doing right now is just to help the Iranian government galvanize people around this nationalist sentiment of the destruction of the country, and you have to defend the country, and use the public in that direction, which is absurd when you look at it, how the president has messed up the entire domestic dynamics in regards to social movements and political movements. It's just unfathomable how he has messed it up. At this moment, I think calling out on what the president has said is very important to make sure that what everybody understands, what President Trump is saying, is the language of committing war crimes, crimes against humanity, and cannot destroy a civilization without committing genocide. This is not about freedom. This is not about going toward a democratic society. This is a much bigger, much more complicated issue that Israelis are basically taking advantage of a weak president, President Trump. I think, you know, just to calling it out is very significant. To call it for what it is, this is a war crime. This is a genocidal language. This should stop. That would be the first step. It just doesn't seem real. Somebody says, uses this rhetoric, let alone to act on it.